Today's blot is Daf Kuf Chaf Ches, and we're going to begin on the first words in Daf Kuf Chaf Ches, Avaloya Satevel. So we learned in the Mishnah that even though we're allowed to, under certain circumstances, move boxes out of the way on Shabbos, even though normally it's also because of the Dechol or Tircha, but if the boxes contain Tevel, which is produce from which Trumas and Maisers would not separated, then you're not allowed to move it because the tevel is muksa. Ask the Gemara Peshitta. Of course it's muksa because you can't eat tevel. Answers the Gemara, lo tzricha betevel betovel medrabonin. We're dealing with something which is only tevel medrabonin. For example, shazara ba'otachen and nokov, that the produce grew in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in the bottom. That midaraisa, there's no chiv to take trumas and maaseris. It's only midrabanan. So I saw two interesting questions on this teretz. One question I saw is like this: we learned last week a shaila, if you're allowed to give a cotton to eat iser. So, and we learned that lois achilum, you're not allowed to. However, most rishonim say that's only something which is also midaraisa, something which is also midrabanan. A cotton may eat. So why are we saying that this food is muksa? Because you're not allowed to eat it. A cotton's allowed to eat it. Another shaila I saw is that we just learned the sugyas about shal shudas and Shabbos. So the Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan asks, shal shudas, especially if you hold shal shudas as a deraisa, and tevel is only with rabbanon, so the assay of the deraisa to eat shal shudas should be the doicha the loisa say of tevel midrabanan. So you have to, the only way to answer both questions is you have to say that our Gemara is talking about that you have other food. So since you have other food, then there's no heter to eat, to give a child even tevel that's midrabanan, or even though you have to eat shal shudas, eat the food, not the tevel. Another teretz I saw on the question about even if you hold that you're allowed to give a child the rabanan. But here there's another problem in giving the food, this tevel, to a child. Because the tevel is owned by in the tevel there's the kohen's portion, the levi's portion. If you go and you give a child that portion, then you're doing geneva. You're taking the kohen's portion and giving it away. So even if it's only tevel drabonin, there's no hetter for geneva. Geneva is the raisa. So that's why you have to say this pshat. Continues the Gemara. V'loy ma'aserishin, you're not allowed to move my serishin because it's muksa if the truma wasn't removed. Answers the Gemara Peshitta. Ask the Gemara Peshitta. Of course, if it wasn't removed, it's muksa. Answers the Gemara, like tzricha shekdima b'kri, that the Levi took his portion. We learned this Gemara yesterday. His ma'aserishin when the tefu was already processed, should not mean a ma'aser, and he took off the trumas ma'aser to learn not mean truma gedolah. Because as we learned, the levi truma gedolah has to be removed from all tefu, and also 10% of the ma'aser has to be given to a kohen. So here, the trumas ma'aser was taken, not the truma gedolah. Maratem could amalei Rapapa labaya. I would thought like Rapapa said to Abaya that we learned yesterday that if the levi took it, then there's no chiv to give Trum Gedoyah, Kamashma Kleshana Leabaya, that dispensation of giving Trum Gedoyah is only in effect if he took it before the Tvu was processed. Once it's processed, it's too late. V'layis Ma'aser Sheni, we learned that Ma'aser Sheni that wasn't redeemed, you can't, is Muksa. Ask the Gemara again, Pshita, if it wasn't redeemed, you're not allowed to eat it outside your shlaim. So it's obviously muksa. Answers the Gemara, like tzricha the niftu v'loi niftikal chasim. It was redeemed, but it wasn't redeemed properly. For example, ma'is sheni shepad al gaba siman, the ma'is sheni was redeemed on a slug. The rachmana amav tzarta kos biyotcha, that we learned davashesh betzura, only coins that are minted are acceptable for redeeming ma'is sheni. The Hegdish Shechilai Gavakarkoi. Well, Hegdish is the next example of the Mishnah that was redeemed on property. Something that's movable. And real estate, by definition, is not movable. Tysus points out there are really no psukim that say this. It's only putting together psukim. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is because since they learned Tarish B'Ksav only B'Ksav, if they didn't have a Chumash in front of them, they used to change the words of the psukim. V'loyas Halof, we learned this type of bean is also muksa. Tarner Abonin. Matatlan is a chatzav. The latter moved this grass, which is called the chatzav. Rashi explains the chatzav is the grass that Yeshua used to mark the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Because it's the kind of grass that grows straight, it doesn't spread out. Neshemachal Litzvoyim. It could be given to deer to eat. Vesachardal, mustard, Neshemachal Yoinim. Doves could eat it. Now, there's a very interesting question. The Bryce, the Rishonim asked this question. The Bryce says here that chardal is not muksa because they gave it to yoinim to eat. Yet the Mishnah, in using an example of something that's muksa because has nobody could eat, says chardal, mustard. So is mustard muksa or not? So the Rishonim answer, and this is relevant, la'aloch la'maisa, it depends where you live. If where you live there are yoinim, and yoinim eat chardal, so chardal is not muksa. And that's the situation of the Bryce. In the Mishnah, they lived in a place with no yoinim. So chardal had no use as a food, and therefore, it's muksa. Shem Gamliel Oimer, af metatlan shivri zechuchis, you could even move broken pieces of glass, mnei shemachla namius, because it's food for an ostrich. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Eretz Tzvi on this Gemara. Says, you know, many times in Yerideya, we find the concept of Roy Lachilas Kelef. So the question is, when it says Roy Lachilas Kelef, does it mean a dog, or just a concept, edible or not? So he says, from this Gemara, there's a Raya, Achilas Kelef means Kelef. Because the Gemara says here that glass is edible. Why? Because ostriches eat glass. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, would you call glass an edible food? You certainly would not call it edible. So you see, when it says a dog, we mean a dog, not just a concept. Amalei Rav Nosson Amata Chavila Zemeris Yitaplu, you should be allowed to move pieces of a branch Neshumach Lepilin because elephants eat it. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel, how will he respond to that? He says, Nami Yashichi, where they lived, there were ostriches. Pilin La Shichi, there were no elephants. But Anachanami, if there were elephants, it would be Mutter. Amra Meima, for who the Islay Namis? And that's why the only time you could move the pieces of broken glass is if you actually have ostriches. So Rav Ashi disagrees. Amar Rav Ashi Lameimer El the Kamalei Rav Nosson Rav Shimon Gamliel Chavila Zemaris Yitatlu Nei Shemach Lepilin. Rav Nosson asked Rav Shimon Gamliel the following question. We learned it a moment ago that you should be allowed to move broken pieces of reeds because it's animal food, elephant food. Now, if you only say that the heter is applicable if the person has elephants, and so then why does he say you're not allowed to move it? Amayloi, why shouldn't you be allowed to move it? Ella, what must be the question? Roy, as long as it's edible, even if you don't actually own that animal, it should be enough. Hachanami, Roy. So the Gemara is saying as long as there are this type of animal in the locale where you live, even if you don't personally own that animal, you're allowed to move that type of food, because where you live, that's considered food. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Kula Svirle, they all agree with the concept that we've come across a number of times, Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Hayim, that all of Kol Yisrael are considered princes and are treated as such. And we'll review. Rav Shimon Gamliel Hadam Moran. Just now, we said Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you can move glass because it's ostrich food. Now, only wealthy people own ostriches, yet everybody can move it. Why? Because we all are considered like people who could own ostriches. Rav Shimon, Gemara we learned a few weeks ago, when we were speaking about refuah b'Shabbos, and what may you or may you not use. So Gemara spoke about rose oil, rose water. Nab nameless Nochem Sochan Gavma Kaseim Shem Vered, that the princes used to use rose oil as to anoint themselves. And Rav Shimon says everybody could use it. Why? Because Shein Dakim Shemlaim Lochem Los Bechol. Since princes use it during the week, all of Klai Yisrael are considered princes. Rav Shimon Raim Kovenei Yisrael Benochem Heim. Rav Shmuel Rav Akiva, where do we find them? The Tanya. It says, Harei Shahoya Noishin by Elf Mono. Somebody owes somebody else money. So you could collect your money. And you could take anything he owns. However, you have to leave him something to wear. So let's say this person who owes you the money is Lovish Itzlabas Kuf Mono. He's wearing a very expensive suit, a very expensive coat. So the Tanakhama says, Mavshit Noisa, you can tell him, listen, give me your expensive suit. Or Mabishan Etzla Ruiloi. You give him a cheaper suit, and you could keep the more expensive suit. Tanamishim Rishmova, Tanamishim Rakiva, Kalyasar Ruinloi, it's the law. Everybody in Kliasol is could be wearing the expensive suit, and you can't say you for you a cheaper suit, a cheaper coat is good enough. So you learned in the Mishnah, Chavile Kash, the Chavile Zrodim, these pieces of wood and of reeds, Imiskinu Machu Mahema, if they were set aside, if they were prepared for animal food, Matatlan Nesai may be moved, Mimlav, a Matatlan Nesai. Tanu Rabbonim. Chavila kash v'chavila eitzim v'chavila zrodim im eskin l'macha behema, if they were prepared for animal food, metatlon yisai, may be moved. M'lav, e metatlon yisai, can't be moved. So the Rajba explains this Gemara, the two things the Rajba says here. Number one, the Rajba says that the Gemara says that these chavila eitzim had to be prepared for animal food. Let's say they weren't specifically designated as animal food. You just have bundles of eitzim. So he says, stam bundles of eitzim we assume are for firewood. And firewood on Shabbos is muksa, because you're not allowed to make a fire on Shabbos. So if you don't have any specific designation, they would be muksa. But then the Rajba says a gewaldige chiddush. He says like this, let's say you have this wood, which is designated for firewood or stam. Stam, we said it's firewood. And then on Shabbos, you decide to feed your animal with this wood. He says it won't be muksa. Even though usually we say, migadis katsoil banish mashas. Here, since you didn't specifically designate it as animal food, we only say that's usually used for firewood. But since you didn't specifically designate it, and on Shabbos you decided to use it, you would be allowed to. A very big chiddush. Hashem Gamliel Aimer, Chavil Manitom B'yad Echad, if you can move them, with one, if these bundles could be moved with one hand, mutl taflon, then you may move them. B'shtayidaim, but if it takes two hands to move, osl taflon. So most Rishonim learned this is an issue of the dechol. If it's such a big bundle, so moving them is of the dechol. Now Gemara continues. Chafila seya ezav akurnus, and the Gemara is going to explain soon what all these items are. Hechnisim leitzim. So this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara. If you specifically designated them for firewood, this is the opposite of what we learned before. Before we said that usually they're assumed to be firewood unless said otherwise. Here it's just the opposite. Tosfos says, if you specifically designated them as firewood, then the halacha is emistakim them Shabbos. You're not allowed to use them on Shabbos because they're muksa. If not, we assume. This is the way Tosfos learns the lamachu behema, that they're animal food, and if they're animal food, the halacha is mestapik man b'Shabbos. You're allowed to move it on Shabbos. That is another halacha. We learned that we explained it this way, that the malacha of toichen means grinding. We said that toichen is not limited to grinding. If you take vegetables and you cut them into small pieces, you'll be over the malacha of toichen. So here too, you have pieces of wood. You can't give the animal to eat big pieces of wood. So you got to make it into smaller pieces. So if you says Rashi, if you're going to take a whatever type of utensil and chop it into small pieces, that will be considered toichen. So now the question the Gemara is dealing with is, how could you take these pieces of wood, make them into small pieces, and still not be over the malacha of toichen? So the Beis Yosef takes out from Rashi that you can never have toichen d'oraisa unless you use a keli. Toichen d'oraisa is only with a keli. But now we're talking about the rabbanon d'ge toichen. So says the Gemara, koitim yad, and you should chop them up with your hands, v'oichel. Or vachla yiktim b'kli, you shouldn't use a utensil. Or moil v'oichel, and you should chop them up with your hands. Or vachla yimel b'kli harbe, the Rabbi Yehuda. So the way you have to learn Peshat is like this. Besides the fact that you're not allowed to use a utensil, we also want you not to prepare a lot. Because preparing a lot is a tzricha, it's tchina d'rabbonin. The chomer even more machmer. Moil b'roish etz, we only want you to use the tip of your fingers and oichel and eat them that way. And also on top of that, ovach lo yimu b'yodei harbe. So they want you to do two things. Do it with a shinui, only with the tip of your fingers, and also don't do a lot. Kedach shos b'chol, to make a differentiation between Shabbos and the weekday. Says the Gemara, became by Misa, the same halacha applies to Misa, became a pigan, became a shaminatel. Maya Misa, what is a Misa? Says the Gemara, ninyo. Ninyo is mint. Seya, Amar Yehuda, what is Seya? Tzasri. Tzasri is a type of a spice. Azov, what is Azov? Avrasa. It's a type of a grass. Cornus cornisa shema. It's a different type of a herb. Says the Gemara, how could you say that cornus is cornisa? Vahud amalei. There was somebody who said, my boy cornisa. Who wants cornisa? Vishtaki chashi. And they gave him chashi. So you see that cornisa is not cornus. Rather, cornisa is chashi. Alaseya, says the Gemara, is tzansri. Ezoiv is avrasa. And cornisa is chashi. Different types of spices and herbs. We don't really know what these things are. Begins the Gemara. Itmar. Basam aliyach. Salted meat. Salted meat. Mutal tatl b'shabas. Certainly a lot of moving in Shabbos. Basa tofel. So we're going to learn with the first pshat in Rashi. Basa tofel means unsalted meat. The other pshat that Rashi use says, but we're not going to learn what that pshat is, that it's spoiled meat. We're going to speak about unsalted meat. Rav hunam a mutal tatl. It's, you allowed to move it, it's not muksa. Rav Chizda Amar Osel Tatla, it's Muksa. Rav Huna Amar Mutal Tatla, Rav Huna says you're allowed to move it. Ask the Gemara, Rav Huna Talmud Rav Hava. We know that Rav Huna was Rav's Talmud, and we know V'Rav, Rav Yehuda Sirlei. We encountered this a number of times in this Masechta. The Rav agrees with Rav Yehuda, who's the man the Amidah holds, Islay Muksa. So how could you tell me, ask the Gemara, that Rav Huna allows you to move this non-salted meat? Rav Huna agrees with Rav, and Rav agrees with Rav Yehuda, with a broad definition of muksa. Says the Gemara, interesting teretz. The mus, no, no, you'll see clearly it's not. We'll see everything. The muksa lachila, regarding eating, savla Rav Yehuda, he'll agree you're not allowed to eat it. However, here it's talking about muksa l'taltel. You'll be allowed to move it, because savla Rav Shimon. In other words, he's saying like this, a very interesting teretz, that there's two types of muksa. There's a type of muksa regarding eating, and there's a type of muksa regarding moving. We usually say either it is muksa or it is a muksa. If it's muksa, you can't move it and you can't eat it. And if it's not muksa, you can eat it and you can move it. Here the Gemara seems to be making a new category. It's muksa as far as eating, but not muksa as far as moving. We don't obviously pass in this way. Rav Chizda Amar Osel Tatla. Says the Gemara, Rav Chizda says you can't move it. Ask the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak Ba'ami Ikul Be'er Rav Chizda. Rav Yitzchak Ba'ami came to Rav Chizda's home. V'chaza hu bar avza. He saw this goose that wasn't salted. That mekometatle meshim shlatula. It was out in the sun. They didn't want it to get ruined in the sun. So they moved it out from the sun into the shade. V'am Rav Chizda. And Rav Chizda, when he saw them doing this, chser and kiss chsin haki. So he saw that the meat was getting ruined. And you did the smart thing by moving it. So obviously Rav Chizda holds that unsalted meat may be moved. And it says the Gemara, Shani bar avza de chazal umtza. Unsalted goose people used to chew. So since people used to chew unsalted meat, that's why it's not muksa. So Tosfos right away makes a point. How could you eat unsalted meat? If it wasn't salted, you have dam. So Tosfos says, halacha lemaisa. Tosfos says that when is there a problem eating unsalted meat? Only when the meat is cooked. Because when the meat is cooked, the blood moves, stam shapirish. That blood you're not allowed to eat unless it's removed from the meat. But if it's raw, so the meat, the blood is where it was all along, it's called dam me'avarim, and you're allowed to eat such meat if it wasn't salted. So now, before we go further, our Gemara is paskening that raw meat is edible. And if it's edible, you're allowed to move it. What happens if you live in a place where it's not edible? People don't eat raw meat. So l'chayu would be muksa. Because the way we're learning the whole sugya, everything goes according to where you live. Now, I'm just going to make a comment. So our Gemara says that raw meat is edible and it's not muksa. The next Gemara we're going to learn is that raw fish is not edible and therefore is muksa. In our world, it's just opposite. People eat raw fish, sushi, so it shouldn't be muksa. And people don't eat raw meat, so it should be muksa. But where is the question of raw meat being muksa very relevant? It could be very relevant. The halacha is that if you don't salt the meat within 3 days of shechita, you can't salt it anymore to remove the blood. The only way you can remove the blood from that meat is with sliya, roasting. So now the shaila is, let's say the third day comes out on Shabbos. You have meat that if you don't wash it today, it's going to become over and you can't salt it anymore. Is that meat muksa or not? So in the time of the Gemara, it certainly was a muksa. The question is, nowadays, would you be allowed to move it to wash it? Tana Rabbanan, Dag Meliach, salted fish, mutl tatl. It's herring, it's certainly edible. How about Dag Tuffel? Raw fish, says the Gemara, also not salted, not just that raw, but not salted, not processed in any way. Also tatl, you can't move it. Basar, meat, bain, tofu bein meliach, like we just learned, whether it's salted or unsalted, mutl tatle, why? Because they used to eat raw meat. Tana bonim, metatle nes atzomis. If you have bones of meat left over, you may move them. Why? Neshamachel klovim. You could give a dog to eat this food. Basa tefuach. What about spoiled meat? Says the Braisa. Also, you can move it. Neshamachel chaya. It's edible to give to your wild animals. Mayim Megula. Mayim Megula means water that was left open, that we have many times in Shas, that if water is left open, you're not allowed to drink it, because we're concerned that a snake snuck into that water, dropped some of its venom into the water, it dissolved, and you don't see it, and that water is poisonous. So they were very makbid on not to drink water that was left open. But so now the question is that water muksa? Says the Bryce, it's not muksa. Why not? You could give a cat to eat it. And Rashi explains, a cat could drink water that had this venom in it and will survive. I guess that's where it came, the statement that cat has 9 lives. Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, Kol Atzman, Asala Shaisan, you're not allowed to keep this water in your home. Because what are you going to keep the water and say, I'm going to feed it to the cat? But let's say somebody, Chas V'Shalom, will see the glass of water. He's not going to realize that this water is only drinkable by cats. And Chas V'Shalom drink it himself. So since it's Asl L'Shaisam, and therefore it's Muksa. Says the Mishnah, Kaifin es asal lefnei afroichim. You're allowed to turn over a barrel in front of the chicks, the little chickens, kadei shi'ala v'yerdu, in order they should go up and down. So let's just say two things. First of all, Rashi reminds us something we learned at the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Mem Gimel. Rabbi Yitzchak at the beginning of the Masechta says, "Ein keli nittel el tzarech davar nittel." You're not allowed to move a utensil only on behalf of something which is movable itself. And animals are muksa. So the Gemara asked, "How could you take this barrel and move it on behalf of the chickens? The chickens are muksa." So the Gemara said, the answer was that you didn't pick up the barrel specifically to move the path of the chicken. Could that's the halacha and keli nittel el tzarech davar nittel. You picked up the barrel because you needed the place where the barrel was. Tzarech mekaymai. And as we said many times, once you pick something up, even if it's muksa, you could take it wherever you want. So now I'm putting it down in front of the animals, and the animals are going to go up and down. What's the problem with animals going up and down? Because animals are muksa. So while the animals are in the barrel becomes a basis. So you turned it into non-movable. The halach is, since they go up and down, it's mutter. Now one shaila, I think we might have discussed already, the Mishnah obviously is passing that chickens are muksa. Now the question is, what's the halach if you have an animal as a pet? Why is an animal muksa? Because the animal is oimed to be eaten, but you have to shecht it. But in Shabbos, you're not allowed to shecht. So that's why it's muksa machmas gufan. But what about if you own an animal at home? You have a dog, you have a cat, you have a bird. A pet. Will that be muksa or not? So this question was already asked by the Rishonim. The Marach or Zeruah discusses it. And he quotes the Rosh and he says that all animals, even ones that are pets, are muksa. The only animal that I saw the Paiskim should say is not muksa is a seeing eye dog. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Shmir Shabbos Kulchasa says a seeing eye dog is not muksa. So continues the Mishnah, Tanagola Shabarcha, if you have a chicken that ran out of the yard, is the halacha, Doichneso Achitkanis, you could push it back in. Another halacha, Doich means to push. Medadidin means even more than just push. Bedadin means actually like to walk it. Bedadin agolim b'sayochim. You're allowed to walk these young animals to get them back into the barn, into the field. Furthermore, v'ish bedadis b'nor. If you have a small child, says the Mishnah, even if it's not walking so well, as we're going to learn in a second, a isha could walk her. Amar Yehuda, what is the age? That the child is already able to walk, that it can lift the foot and put down the foot. If the only way the kid walks is if you schlep him, then also you're not allowed to schlep him on Shabbos. There's an interesting tshuva from Moshe. What's going to be the halacha, not chas v'shalom by a child, but on the contrary, by an adult who has a very, very hard time walking, and he needs to be schlepped because he can barely walk? Will the same then apply? Rav Moshe's machmer. He says, interesting svara. He says, a child, that's the way children walk. Children walk slowly. They're learning to walk. And sometimes you got to help them along. An adult that walks that way, that's not called walking. Because how are adults supposed to walk? Adults are supposed to walk properly. And therefore, you're not allowed to be medad an adult. I'm Rav Yudam Arav. Behemish nafla masamayim. Animal fell into a pit of water. Is the halacha, maybe karen v'kastis, you should bring pillows, or meniach techtea, and like that lift it up, then also. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says a braisa, behemish nafla masamayim, if an animal fell in to a pit of water, oisle panosim v'kaim v'shvil shloi thomas, you should give it food where it is. So what does the braisa say? Panosim in, feed it where it is, karen v'kastis loy, but you can't take pillows and lift it up. Answers the Gemara, Lakasha. Hadash Panasa, of course the best thing is just to leave it where it is and feed it there. And if that's doable, great. Hadi Efshap Panasa, where it's impossible, Efshap Panasa, where you could feed it there and leave it in, do that. Viloy, maybe Karamakasta Samnir Tachtel. Ask the Gemara, Vakumvatl Klimechonai. While the animal is going to be on the pillows, so the Gemara, the two ways the Rishonim explain this question. One way is that if you're going to throw pillows into the pit of water, those pillows are no longer usable, the Shabbos. They'll be drenched. So, you're making that the pillows should no longer be usable. Or another way of learning it is that while the animal is standing on the pillow, you can't use the pillow. And we learned that it's Ostilvata Keli Mechonai. You can't take something that's usable and take it out of use. Answers the Gemara, Sover. Mevata Kli Mechonai. The Isser to Mivata Keli Mechon is Drabonim. Sabal Chayim Daraisa. Be Mitzaran animals Daraisa. Vos Daraisa Vedachid Drabonim. The Isser, the Sabal Chayim, supersedes the issue of Mivata Keli Mechon. So Prima Godim, Bemis, this Shaila, if Sabal Chayim, let's talk about Sabal Chayim for a moment. This issue of Tzab al-Chaim being the rice of the Rabbonin is a Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia. So, says the Prima Godim, isn't our Gemara clear proof that Tzab al-Chaim is the rice? So the Prima Godim says it's not necessarily proof. He says, because here we're talking about Tzab al-Chaim on Shabbos. This story is happening on Shabbos. On Shabbos, says the Prima Godim, everybody will agree that Tzab al-Chaim is the rice. Why? Because it says, regarding Shabbos, L'man Yenuach, Avdecha V'amoscha, Sharcha V'chamorcha. So in Shabbos there's a special din that an animal should be b'menucha, and Tzar Bal Chaim is obviously the opposite of menucha. So it's only on Shabbos. Rashi clearly doesn't agree, because if you look at Rashi doesn't say anything about Shabbos. Rashi quotes the pasuk of Azav Tazav Imoy, that if you see an animal in distress, you have to help. That has nothing to do with Shabbos. And the truth is, the Prima Godim is a very hard pshat, because if the Prima Godim is correct that the whole issue here is because of Shabbos L'man Yenuach, that it should only be a din by your animal. Why is there an Indian of somebody else's animal? The Gemara doesn't differentiate between your animal and someone else's animal. You only have a chiv of shvises behemtoi on your own animal. You don't have a chiv of shvises behemtoi on somebody else's animal. So it seems that this is a proof that Tzar Bal Chaim is deraisa, which is the way most poskim paskim. It's important to say that the Rashba says that just like there's a Tzar Bal Chaim is deraisa, Tzar Bal Chaim is not limited to animals. Tzar Bal Chaim also applies to human beings. You're not a mitzara human being. The Rajba says, if you mitzara human being, you're over tzar bal chaim. And according to the Gemara now, it's a daraisa. So how are you allowed to shecht an animal? So the answer all the Rishonim give is that although Tzar Bal Chaim is Doraisa, it's only when it's not in service to a human being. According to Halacha, animals are here to serve human beings. So when we need to take an animal in service of a human being, that's when there's no issue Tzar Bal Chaim. Although the Chinuch says that Shechita is the most humane way of killing an animal. So we're allowed to eat animals because animals were created on our behalf, and shechita is the most humane way, and that's why you're also allowed to do tests for medicine or other things on animals, because it's on behalf of human beings. However, the poskim say that's only when there's a purpose. For example, I'll tell you two piskei halachas I saw. The Noida Behuda was asked the shaila, is a person allowed to go hunting? So he says, a person now will go hunting. He says, besides that it's not the Jewish thing to do, it brings into you, he says, the midas of hunting and killing are not the midas of a Jew. He says, also, if you're just hunting an animal for sport, it's Tzar Bal Chaim. Tzar Bal Chaim is awesome. Then I saw another interesting shaila. The Shevet Alevi talks about this shaila. He says, they discovered like this. Usually, how do you get the feathers off a bird? You kill the bird and you pull out the feathers. But there's one thing, after you kill a bird, the feathers don't grow back. So it says they came up with the following patent. If you don't give a bird to eat for a long time, its feathers will start to fall out. And then you'll give it to eat, and the feathers will grow back, and then you can go through this process over again. But it's a terrible Tzar Bal Chaim, because you're starving it. So he says it's awesome. Because even if we're saying that you're allowed to do things on behalf of humans, he says, but that doesn't allow you to be overly cruel. We have to remember that these are Hashem's creations, and we have to try to minimize the cruelty as much as possible. And the Michus Yitzchak, we'll end with this, has an interesting tshuva. He says, this has been a perpetual shaila, about stunning an animal before you shecht it, because they're worried about Tzar Bal Chaim, it shouldn't feel the pain, even though the Chinuch says that it's the most humane way. So he says that this is the Shiloh constantly came up in Klai Yisrael, and he says, I'll bring you a proof that it's awesome. He says, this concept of immobilizing an animal before you shecht it doesn't require any new science, any new technology. In the times of the Gemara, they could have figured it out also. And the Gemara was very sensitive to animals. What's our proof? Our Gemara just said that Tzar Bal Chaim is the Raisa. Yet the Gemara, even though it knows that Tzar Bal Chaim is the Raisa, never gave you this allowance. So it's right that you're not allowed to do that to an animal before you shecht it. Continues the Gemara. Tanagar l'shabarcha. If a chicken ran away, doichen in, you're only allowed to push it, but you're not allowed to lift the chicken in any way. Says the Gemara, why? Because Tanina Lahadarun Rabbanan. But that is the Behemachaiv Oit Bechatzer, a different type of animal or bird you could push, Avaloyas a Tanagoilus, but not a chicken. Ask the Gemara Tanagoilus Maitama Loy, why is a chicken worse? Om Rabbaya, Mishunamakvinavsha. Chicken, if you try to lift it, pushes itself down. So when you pick it up, you're carrying it. Tani Chada, and the Gemara says, there's one price that says, Medadim Behem Vachayv Oif Bechotzer, Avaloy Bershis Rabim. You're allowed to do it in Chotzer, not in Shis Rabim. Ve'isha Medadis Benon. Furthermore, a woman may push a child. Bershis Rabim. Ve'en Tzach Loim, and certainly Bechotzer. Ve'tan Yidach. Yet there's another price that says, Ein Oikir Behem Vachayv Oif Bechotzer. Avaloy Behem, Shiyichnesu. So ask the Mahar Gufa Kasha. The Brisa, the second Brisa itself, is seemingly self-contradictory. Amrit ein oikrim. You're not allowed to lift it. Avadudim medadin. But to push it, more than just push it, actually walk it, is mutter. Vahad amrit doichne medadin loy. Says the Gemara, I'm abai, say for Aslan Tanagoylus. Even though other animals may be walked, a chicken not. Why? Because like we just learned, the chicken lifts it, pushes itself down, and when you pick it up, you're like picking something up. Om Rabbaya, hi man the shokatana goilus, if somebody shechs a bird, lichvishinu lakara ba'ara, either he should press down its feet into the ground, in nadel or medal, you should hold it up in the ear, which is the way we shecht. When we shecht a chicken, we keep it in the ear. Why? because the Dilma, if you'll just let it stand on the ground, since we just said that a bird, a chicken, when you try to pick it up, it presses itself down. So what's going to happen is the simonim, you're shechting with a knife, but it's pressing itself down, so the simonim get dislodged. And one of the psula we learned shechita zakira, if the simonim, the kanan deveshit, get dislodged. Says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to help an animal give birth. I'm a sad. You're allowed to help. You're not actually allowed to deliver. But a woman, a human being, you're allowed to deliver a baby on Shabbos. You're allowed to call a midwife. You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So we'll see what Mechal and Shabbos comes to teach us in the Gemara. The Kaishrus Atibur, the umbilical cord, could be tied. Rabbi Yossi Omer, not only could it be tied, Af Chaitchin. So, the way most Rishonim learn Af Chaitchin is that cutting it is not, even though tying it takes the baby out of Sakana, but cutting it is not an Issa D'Raisa, since it's only Issa D'Rabbanan with Mekel. You're allowed to do anything for bris mila on Shabbos, which is actually the subject of the next parak. Says the Gemara, Ketz Masadin, how can you help an animal have a baby on Shabbos? As the baby comes out of its mother's womb, you catch it. You're allowed to press the animal's flesh to push out the baby. Tanya Kavasa Rabbi Yehuda, something where we learned the bracelet Rabbi Yehuda. Ketsa Masadin, how do you help the animal have its baby? You grab the baby that it should not, you catch the baby, it shouldn't fall on the ground. Furthermore, you don't want the mother who's in the middle of delivery to be in distress. So if it has mucus in its nose, which is disturbing her, you could blow into the nose to clear up the mucus. When the baby is born, you could bring the baby to its mother to nurse. We used to have extra level of rachmanis, of pity, and do things in yontif. What does that mean? Exactly what does that mean? You're allowed to bring salt. Because as the Gemara says like this, specifically by behemoth tahira, by a kosher animal, when it has its baby, it forgets about the baby. So how do you want it to remember that it had a baby and to treat the baby right? You put salt into the womb. When you put salt into the womb, so the salt irritates the womb, and that reminds the animal, because they do have instincts, that there was a baby here, its baby here, and it'll pay attention to its baby. You bring a clump of salt to put it into the mother's womb, it'll remember the labor pains it just went through, it'll remember and have rachmanis on its baby. It's the tzarech. Right. You let it spritz the fluid that came out onto this baby, the mother will pick up the scent. And like that, have rachmanis on its baby. Says the Gemara, v'dafka tahira. When was this said by behemoth tahira? Ava tameya by behemoth tameya loy. Why? My tama tameya loy. My tama. Says the Gemara, tameya loy merach kavlada. A tamedig animal doesn't have this instinct of distancing its baby from it. And if it does, v'merach kavlada, if it actually does, loy mekava. All these things won't help. Miyadin Seisha, we said, but by a woman, by a regular human being, we could do all these things. Michti. Ask the Gemara. Tanale Miyadin Seisha, we learned in the Brishna, you could deliver. The Karla Chachamim, you could call a midwife. What is the Mishnah teaching us extra by saying the words, you could be Mechal Shabbos to deliver a baby? And the Rishonim point out, from here we see that actually delivering a baby is an Issa D'Raisa. Because if it wasn't an Issa D'Raisa, you could say like this. When the Mishnah says that Miyaldin Se'isha, that you deliver the baby, that's not a D'Raisa. The Karan Chacham, I'll say it's also not a D'Raisa. I didn't have to do any D'Raisa. I went the black down and call the midwife. So when the Mishnah says Mechalon Se Shabbos, it comes to tell us you could do even the Raisa. If the Gemara is asking a question of Mechalon Se Shabbos L'Suyimai, it's obvious that Miyadna Se'ish is a Daraisa, and now the Gemara is asking, if I already learned that you're allowed to be over a Daraisa, so why does the Mishnah again have to say Mechalon Se Shabbos? And says the Gemara, L'Suyimai Hadu Tanu Rabbanan. If the mother in labor requires light, you're allowed to put on a candle. If she needs oil, she could carry it. You could carry it not in the normal way, carry it in your palm. If you can't carry it in your hand, carry it on your in her hair. Then carry it in a keli. Amamar. So the first thing is, if the mother needs candle, it puts it on. Ask the pshita. Of course. You're allowed to do anything. So if the chayla needs a candle, why not? Answer the Gemara, we're dealing with the mother is blind. So the candlelight won't make a difference. Since she can't see anyway, so asr, it should be asr to put on a candle. Kamash Milan. It calms her down when you put on a candle. Because Savra, the mother, even though she's actually blind, says, my friends can see better and they'll do for me. So the Rishonim ask, so why don't you just put on, why don't you just tell her you put on the candle? She can't see. So tell her I put on the candle. All you're doing is for her mental state. So say you put on the candle, and it'll be good enough. So they answer a few Q-Turitim. Sometimes the blind people, they can't see, but they can tell if it's dark or light. Or she'll put up two fingers or three fingers just to ask you, how many fingers did I put up? And if it's dark, she'll catch you. So that's why you should actually put on the candle. But from here we see, this is a very relevant topic in halacha. Here we see that how much you're allowed to do for the mental calmness of the chayla. And Ramosh has a tshuva. He says, what's the halacha if a woman goes into labor on Shabbos and she's going to the hospital and she's going by car? Is her husband allowed to go along with her? So Ramosh is very meikle. He says, if that's what's good for the husband, if that's what's good, she should go. The Chazon Ish was a little more machma. But Emes, this is a shayla that wasn't asked, that's relevant to every chayla. The shayla meishiv already has a shayla like this. There was a person who was never sick, I don't know if it was in the hospital or not in the hospital, and they said that I want my family here. And the question was the family allowed to be mechalal Shabbos to go to the chayla? So the shayla meishiv said that if it only involves the rabbonans, then you could do as many as the rabbonans as involved, to if that's what's good for the chayla's mental health. Why? Because we've seen this gemara that that's a factor. Other paiskim were more machmer. The shalom meshach says you could do many melachos rabbanon. He says the case there was traveling on a horse. Going on a horse is usher to ride on a horse, and it'll be a shalom of tchum. And he says it's not your own horse, so there's no shalom shvisas behemtai. But it could. Medlekes is in there is what you need during the delivery. If I go visit a chayla, it's not that I'm actually part of his care. I'm just doing it for its for mental health. She wants me to visit her. The Machs Avram was more machmer. He didn't say what it called. The Machs Avram was more machmer. He says that you can't do many drabbanans, only you allowed to do one drabbanan. That's what some people say. If you're going in a bus or on a train where you're not driving it and it doesn't really need more fuel because of you, and the chayla really needs you, then it may be mutter to go.
One more.